Elaine Swann's School of Etiquette. Be well, live well with Elaine Swann. This is episode 22, recorded August 20th, 2021. And in this episode, John mentions chapter 3, The Parables of the Talents. You'll find the link in the episode notes to listen to him read that chapter. Visit johnsanders.com for more insights, articles, stories, and be sure to catch this podcast anywhere you get your audio.
Welcome, everyone, to Parables for Entrepreneurs podcast. This is sponsored by johnsanders.com, the website that hosts Parables for Entrepreneurs, the book I wrote 30 years ago. And you know what? I haven't learned anything since. So today, I'm very lucky we are to have Ms. Elaine Swann, who is an entrepreneur, a former airline hostess, a flight attendant. You weren't called flight attendants in those days, were you?
Yeah, we were just after you called us stewardesses. So at the time I was a flight attendant.
There you go. 10 years, right?
Yes, I flew for 10 years for Continental Airlines.
How about that? And I'm sure that I was on one of your flights because I flew Continental a lot between Washington, D.C. and Detroit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you were on one of my flights. Absolutely.
I think Continental had bought... I forgot who did the flight. What was the airline before that I was flying? But then Continental bought them, and then they merged with US Air.
United. Yeah. United. Well, no. United. Now right. United. Yes. Yes.
That's where I get my United miles. I don't have a lot, but they're left over from Continental Day.
Yes.
So today we're going to discuss about investing, about entrepreneurship. About Elaine's company, because I'm an investor in Elaine's company and an active participant as a director and as a advisor and as an investor. So, and I have high hopes for Elaine's company. I plan to retire on that one of these days.
Hey.
Of course, this is only my fifth or sixth retirement, so what the heck. So, in any case, I want to start out by just about 30 seconds on me. For those of you that don't know, and then I'm going to give Elaine whatever time she needs to discuss her. And then we're going to get into the Swann School, which is really an exciting project and has a great future. And I expect to reap great rewards on the way to the bank. So I grew up in Kentucky, Louisville, and went to engineering school there. After engineering school, I worked for General Electric for a year. And I made two great decisions. Number one, I did not want to be an engineer in a big company all my life. And number two, sure as hell not in upstate New York. God, it was cold. In any case, I went to graduate school at Carnegie Mellon, then got recruited by the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, this was the early 60s when the CIA had the Vietnam War. And I say, well, when I left the agency, we were winning. And then the military took it over and bombed everybody, and that it went from there. So I spent 5 years with them, and what I learned as we were out seeking new technologies and how to adapt them to the agency, and the transistors were new, computers were in the other building, I found that the real inventive stuff came from entrepreneurial companies, which were new in technology because for the first time they had computing power. The mini computer cost about $40,000, $45,000, could really accomplish a lot. You did not have the micro, did not come around until the early 80s. So we were still 20 years away from the PC. But engineering companies could accomplish something. So they began to sprout up all over the place. And it was fun because these guys wanted business. They wanted our business and we wanted their business. So it was a great partnership. I did that for the 5 years. And then I moved on to the investment business with a small brokerage firm that the owner loved technology, but he was not a technology guy. So I managed customer accounts and we put deals together, lots of deals. Most of them didn't make it, but a few did, thank goodness. And then I invested in a newspaper that was the technology newspaper of the Washington, D.C. area called Washington Technology. And we followed the local technology companies, which were, of course, government contractors by and large. And if you wanted to know something about a company, you had to come to us. Because the internet wasn't around, there wasn't any great Bible, we were the Bible. Loved it. We had all kinds of, I did everything but editorial. My partner did editorial, wouldn't let me touch it, and rightly so. And we did golf tournaments, we did breakfast briefings, we did award banquets. And every year at the award banquet, we'd had the Fast 50, the top 25 employers, we had the Entrepreneur of the Year, the Executive of the Year. And at the end of the program, I blew all of our profits on a laser show, because this was a great hotel, big ceilings and good, this stuff around. So every year, and one year the guy said, I'm so tired of that laser show. So I did interviews with people, and we put that on. It was a dud. Next year, back to the laser show. So anyway, then I did mergers and acquisitions, and I had a ball. Life has been great for me. So now I'm ensconced in Carlsbad, California, looking out on the beach, and it's great. So one of the first people I met around here, not one of the first, but one of the first I invested in, I was at a meeting of the Startup Grind, which was a Google thing. And Elaine was the speaker, and I was in the back of the room with probably, 50 other people. And I heard one of my other investments, Alexander Polstra, was the interviewer. And I sat there and listened, and I was mesmerized by Elaine's speaking about her history, about what she was trying to accomplish. And so I think I was the last question of the evening, and I said, do you have any investors in your company? And she said, no. And I said, well, I'd like to talk to you. So we made a deal that night. I said, this woman is terrific. So now that I've said you're terrific, tell us about yourself.
Oh, you are too kind, John. Thank you so much. And I tell you, from that night on, after meeting you and us following up the days after, this entire journey has been incredible. And because of your advice, it has made this journey, the crooked ways straight, you know, instead of going down the crooked paths all the time, I've been able to get to where I need to get to a lot straighter.
The only problem is one of those crooked ways may have been led to the pot of gold. I don't know.
Oh. So it's really been helpful, but thank you so much for allowing me to share with you today. And I appreciate all that you've done. My name is Elaine Swan, and I am the founder of the Swan School of Protocol. And what is that? You know, a lot of times people think protocol, what does that mean? We're an etiquette training institute, also located here in Carlsbad, California. I am a lifestyle and etiquette expert, and have taken that expertise and turned it into a company. And after being a speaker for over 20 years, and as I started in 1997, volunteering, and then launched my company in 2003. And as time began to move forward, I started thinking about how I can really begin to scale the business and get to the point to where I'm really making actual money at the business. How can I go from one to many? And I began to do research and study to figure out exactly how I can make this business work. And what we came up with was a licensing model. So what we do now is I train individuals in the area of etiquette and license them so they too can operate as a Swan School of Protocol in their city. And the thing that's so great is that I have the opportunity to take, you know, utilize our headquarters here in Carlsbad as kind of an incubation type environment, so that we create programming, we create curriculum and everything here, and then we roll that out to our licensees so that they too can make an impact in their lives and their communities. And it's so rewarding because these individuals have the opportunity to not only become entrepreneurs themselves and to operate their own business from their environment and from their home, but they're also having a great impact on their community as well, and for the lives that they're able to touch. So that part of it is very, very rewarding. You mentioned the Vietnam War earlier, and it makes me think about my dad every time it's mentioned. I am the daughter of an immigrant. My father immigrated here from Panama, and his goal was to create a better life for himself and for his family and all of us. And so he joined the Navy. And at that time, you can get your citizenship by joining the Navy. So he joined the Navy and he served for 26 years. in the United States Navy, and my dad fought in the Vietnam War, and you know, came back, and we got settled here in Southern California, here in Oceanside, right aboard Camp Pendleton, and that's how I got here to this area. And I really, really am so thankful for his sacrifice to this country. He has now, he has a second retirement after he retired from the Navy. He became an attorney, and he worked for the state of Florida as an attorney, and then retired from there. And now he hangs out with other veterans and enjoys helping young men as they make that transition from the military into their everyday lives as a civilian. So I am so thankful for all of the sacrifices that my dad made, and my mom, who passed away a few years ago, it really left an incredible impact on me. It is because of her that I really, of course, am who I am today. It was her idea to put me in charm school when I was really young because I needed to kind of come out of my shell. And I'm so thankful for that. And one of the things that I always talk about is I say that my first chore as one of the siblings was, for whatever reason, my mom decided to give me the chore to set the table for dinner every night. And who would have thought that would eventually turn into an enterprise? But I often tell people that etiquette has more to do with everyday life than how you set your knife and fork at the table. We really help people show up their best in the world. We help people to really make the transitions. We help them with their social skills and how to deal with difficult people in challenging situations. So it's definitely a lot more than that, but I certainly have that table foundation, and that's going to actually take us to the next level here at the Swan School.
Let me tell you, Elaine, my wife grew up in a small town in North Carolina, rural North Carolina, and her dad grew peaches. He was a pretty big peach grower there, and she worked the stand, did all the kind of stuff. But her senior year in high school, he sent all three daughters to a finishing school. I guess that's what you'd call it. And she went to a senior year in high school. She went to Gulfport, Mississippi, right on the Gulf, to this high school to get her etiquette, everything else taken care of, even though her parents were very good. So she did, as did her two sisters. So she got a finishing school.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because that's really...
She's still training me.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mention that because that's really how I got started out in terms of helping other people. Is I was asked to help in 1997. There was a local sorority who asked me to help prepare their girls for their annual debutante ball, which is that the coming out. And
cotillion.
So that, and I, yes, their cotillion. And I did that for 5 years. Yeah. So that was how I really, you know, went from learning myself to eventually stepping outside of myself and helping other people. So that was where I really got my start, was through that.
That's great. All you girls are more in line than ever.
Yes. Yes.
Girl. Okay. So tell me about your company now.
Right. So the company is really great because we have the parent company, which John has invested in, is Decorum Ventures. And here at Decorum Ventures, we have a few different facets of the company. Number one, we have the Swan School of Protocol, which is our etiquette training institute. And then another section of it is WS Publishing, which is a publishing company. So we publish all of our own books and also the curriculum and the materials that other people buy. And John, I just picked this up yesterday, so you are the first in the world to see this, but we picked this up yesterday. This is our newest book, and it is called A Distinctive Approach. And this one was published by WS Publishing. This is the sixth book that we've published. But this one is a compilation book with some of the owners from the Swan School of Protocol, School owners. And so we just picked it up yesterday. It hasn't been launched yet or anything, so I'm excited. We'll start doing our pre-sales in the next couple of days. And then the thing that's so great about it is we have a built-in distribution network through all of our licensees. Right. And so anything that we develop will go through that initial distribution. So WS Publishing is our second arm. And then the other thing that we're getting ready to begin to launch is Elaine Swan Living, which is really going to take us and this company to the next level. It's going to take us to my icon, my I like to call her my icon, and she's also a mentor for me, even though I've never met her, but it's going to take us to that Martha Stewart level. And that is through the means of lifestyle products that you can use in your home every day. And so we'll start with tabletop designs, everything from your dinnerware to your tableware and so forth. And then we will move through other areas of the home and to provide living products for living, for everyday living for people. I like to say that our motto here at the Swan School or at Decorum Ventures is be well, live well. So our goal is to create products and services to help everyday people be well, so that there's that inner being portion of them. So that's where we have that etiquette instruction that's going to help you with your social skills. It's going to help you deal with people differently. It's going to help you level up and be your best and stand out among the rest and have that competitive advantage among your peers. So that's the be well portion of it. The Live Well portion, which we're going to be launching soon, is going to help people live well, whether it is with your dining and your tableware. But the thing that's going to be unique about what we're doing is that we're helping you figure out exactly what to do and how to do it, because those are the types of questions that we get all year long in terms of entertaining and your decor in your house and so forth. And so we're going to help people live well in their home. So I'm really excited about that.
Did we find an American manufacturer yet?
We have narrowed it down to about three. So we have a company that is on the East Coast that is providing us with some pricing right now. And so we're really looking forward to it, because we want to sow our dollars back into our country. Too often,
absolutely,
you know, we see this, you know, we're taking everything overseas, but if we can keep people going and keep jobs going and keep recycling our dollars right here in our country, it's going to just continue to make us stronger.
We'll all feel so much better if it's American made.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, and here's the thing that's really key, is you think about every time we sow a dollar into a company here on American soil, we're sowing seeds into other people's households. We're sowing a seed into other families' legacies and so forth, and keeping the strength of our country and our communities at a level to where we'll be able to continue to grow. So I think that's an important thing for us to do.
Good. I'm ready.
Yes, absolutely. I know, I'm ready too. I'm ready for this. I'm so excited. And the thing that's really great that sets us apart from other etiquette companies, you know, I was named among some others as the Emily Post of the digital age by the New York Times. And that's such an honor that the New York Times would recognize me in that aspect. But when they talk about the digital stage, I think what really sets me apart from so many other of my comrades in this industry, my peers in this industry, is that I really put forth the greatest effort to help people with what we're really dealing with today. I mean, you know, we think about like how we talked about finishing school and so forth, but what do you do when you're at an event, for example, and maybe you're having a conversation with someone and you're enjoying it, but after a while, you're kind of done with that conversation, you're ready to move on and mingle a little bit. It's those social things that people try to figure out, how do I get out of this? What do I do next? Or if someone is, you know, you're in your workplace and someone stops by your desk and they're talking to you and you're ready to get back to work. People are always concerned about how they treat other people. I really love that people are concerned about not offending others and how to do something without hurting someone's feelings. It's those real everyday quandaries that I love to help people get out of. And I think that's what makes my service and everything that we provide for folks so unique, because we really get down to what's real for everyday life.
Yeah, yeah. So you give classes at your headquarters, I know. How many kids have you been having there in those classes, and are they changed now that they're most of them going back to school?
Yeah. So what's really great is one of the things that we did here at our headquarters is when, you know, we went through COVID and had to do this. So we did make a pivot and we started offering some of our classes online. We found that the kids had a little bit of fatigue as far as the online stuff because they were doing school and that. So we didn't see a huge enrollment as far as that's concerned. But I tell you, once we opened the doors and said that kids can come back in again, our classes filled up. And so typically we'll have anywhere from 10 to 14 students here at our headquarters at one time in any given class. And we provide classes for elementary school students, junior high school students, and also high school students. And we are having a class for adults this coming up on the next Friday, which is really great. So this will be our first adult class post-COVID. And sure enough, that class is doing well with the registration as well, too.
So what's different for etiquette for old folks and etiquette for kids?
Yeah, so with the old folks, people are always concerned about how they treat other people and are they offending people and how can they maneuver certain situations, whether it's with their family members or their coworkers or even their neighbor. And so people really want to know how they can do things and handle things without offending other people or making them feel upset or making them feel uncomfortable. So that's one thing. That's a big, big thing that people are always concerned about. And so we give them the tools that they need to navigate those challenging social situations. There are some instances with people where they need help with a transition. Maybe they're transitioning from a rank and file employee, and now they're going into becoming a C-suite executive or something like that, and they really want to know how to conduct themselves in that area. With the adults in our class, the thing that we also help them with is networking. Often individuals attend a variety of events, whether it's a conference or a business networking event or a holiday party or something to that effect. And there's lots of different nuances that take place when we are interacting with other people. And so with adults, we try to give them the tips and we give them the tools so that they can really navigate those situations successfully. Because what we have to do when we think about it, when we go into an environment to meet people, we have a purpose, right? Our purpose is to either make some great connections so that we can make a sale if we work for the company or bring on a new client if we are self-employed. And so we give them those tools that they need to navigate easily and then also help with that follow-up because there's some things in the follow-up that's really important as well. So I really enjoy working with the adults too.
So Elaine, I've heard you give numerous interviews and people always ask you a tough question about some situation which most everybody would say that's a tough one. And you always have an answer. Do you ever not have an answer?
No, I never not have an answer. And I really believe that this is something that's innate. I really believe that I am exactly where I'm supposed to be as an individual, because I think that I was always that go-to person. I'm a middle child, and I was always the one to seek peace in the household. I had two siblings in front and two in back. And then I'm also that best girlfriend that always has advice. So I can always come up with an answer. And that's what I often tell reporters that talk to me. I say, oh, call me back anytime because I always have an opinion. And that's the strength that I think that I use when I, you know, talk with people and coach them individually, is to always have an opinion, even if it's something to where maybe it's not the most popular opinion, have something to stay and say and stand firm in your opinion. So no, I haven't been stuck. I'm always going to come up with something. And
good,
I love
you.
It. Yeah,
I think I do the same thing in business. There's always an answer. There may not be the only answer, but there is an answer.
That's right. And all you have to do is sound confident.
That's it. That's what selling is all about, you know? You sell yourself first.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, and speaking of which I didn't talk about this part of the business, John, you mentioned me doing lots of interviews. So I, of course, have the absolute honor to be interviewed by a number of media sources, everything from television interviews on television talk shows, the Dr. Oz Show, CNN, Access Hollywood, Fox News, Inside Edition, Today Show goes on. And then, of course, our local stations. And then, of course, I'm interviewed by a lot of press and media outlets as well. So with that, it has allowed me to grow, to become quite popular in this space. In my opinion, is valued. So it allows me to partner with different companies as a brand ambassador or as a spokesperson. And so that is one other aspect of our business, which is where I have the honor to operate as a spokesperson with some really interesting and very successful companies. And that journey for me has been wonderful, wonderful, and it generates a good deal of revenue for us as well.
Well, that's pretty good. So what do you see the where do you see things in a couple of years now? Because you're about to get back into being a spokesperson for hotels or something like that. You did
yes.
Zelle, didn't you, last year?
Yes, I have worked with Zelle for the last 2 years as their spokesperson. And I actually made another call today to connect with them so that we can look at what we're doing as we get into the holiday season.
Good.
And so I've worked with Zelle. I have worked with GoDaddy. I've worked with Booking.com. Baskin and Robbins, just a number of companies. So where do I see myself in 2 years? And now we're in talks right now with a hotel brand for me to be a spokesperson for them. So I'm really looking forward to being able to do that because so much of what I share definitely resonates with the hospitality industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the areas that we work as a coach or as a trainer that I work with corporations and organizations. I go in and I help their staff with their training. And the hospitality industry is one that I have worked in for quite some time, aside from being a flight attendant. I worked as a hostess in restaurants and so forth. And so at 5-star restaurants in New York City. And so that's been really great. In 2 years, I definitely see us to where we will have the Elaine Swan brand in retail stores. Absolutely, positively, will definitely be in retail. I see us doubling in size as far as our licensees are concerned. Also in 2 years, I see us having a very solid space in the media through some sort of means, whether it's through, you know, television or podcast or something to that effect. But I definitely see something that's solid and will maintain. The more attention we can bring to the work that we're doing, then the bigger we can grow the company. And that's one of the ways that we can get in front of a lot of people all at once to draw attention to the work we're doing is through the media. So I definitely see that in 2 years.
Now, I can't get off this call without asking my singular question that I get a big kick out of. And I always tell people now, if you have outside investors, what's the answer when somebody says, why are you in this business? Why are you in this business?
I'm in this business because I want to be filthy rich.
There we go. That's my favorite answer.
And you taught me that.
Absolutely. That's what investors want to hear. They don't want to hear anything else.
No, nothing else.
After they hear that, then they want to know, how are you going to do it?
How are you going to do it?
That's what they want to know. And as an investor, they want their percentage. As you get filthy rich, they become filthy more rich.
Yes.
Whatever.
Absolutely. And you know why that resonates so much with me, John? Because one of the things that I didn't mention before is that I started out with charm school and then I went into pageantry and participated in a lot of pageants, which over time has given me the wonderful pleasure to work with pageant systems. So I work with the Miss California system. I work with the Miss America system. I work with the Miss Filipino America system. And one of the things that I share, when I say system, that's the whole group of girls. They bring me in to train all the girls, which is great. And here's the thing that I say to them, which is why when you shared that with me, it resonated so well, because I don't work with girls who don't want to win the pageant. If you come and you say, and I ask you, why are you in this pageant? And you say, well, because, you know, I hope that I can meet new people. And then no. Or if you say, if I don't win, at least I would have. No, I only work with winners. So if you say I'm in it to win it, then we've got a good deal. So that's why that resonates with me, because I don't work with people who don't want to win. I'm in this to win it. What else am I going to do other than get up every day and work toward maintaining this business and growing it and reaching these goals and becoming incredibly wealthy? My goal is to take this business to $1 billion business. And I know it can happen. I'm on the path.
I'm just getting old. Hurry on.
I know. We need to hurry up and do it. I'm so ready to take it to the next level.
That brings me, I have to make a final statement here. But in one of my chapters of my book, Parables of Entrepreneurs, is the parable of the talents. And it's interesting in that it goes, I don't want to give the whole thing, but go to Parables for Entrepreneurs and read the parable of the talents. But what it is Jesus was talking about when a master goes away, he calls in three of his servants and he gives them a different amount of money according to what he thought their ability was to improve. So he comes back and calls in the first one who had the five talents, which was money, and he made five more. And the master said, great, you did a good job. I'm going to put you in charge of the back 40. And the second guy comes in, he had two talents. And he said, I've made two more. Here's your, what is yours? And the master said the same thing. The one talent guy comes in and he says, oh, master, I was afraid. You were a tough guy. So I buried your talent. Here's what is yours. And the master said, no. That's not the rules. The game was you were to invest and show me your skills. And he says, I only deal with winners. This is Jesus in the Christian faith. I deal with winners. I don't want namby-pambies in my group. And so in the course of it, he told the other servants, first, throw him out where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Number two, take the talent from this who has the one and give it where? Where do you think? To the one that has 10. Give me the, put it in with the winner. Let's run
That's
with the
right.
winner. And
That's
I
right.
say this is biblical. It's not the whole Bible, but it's certainly biblical, and I can pull my parts out like everybody else does. So anyway, go to Parables for Entrepreneurs. You'll get a lot of this on running a business. Miss Elaine, thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Did you have any final statement?
That's it. I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for all of the wealth of knowledge that you have invested in this company. And my goal is to make us some money.
Atta girl. Okay. Take care. Keep those eyelashes now. All right.